Duffel Mix.
Welcome back, everybody. Off of the Helmets, Dallas Cowboys radio show from Tupelo, honey, in Frisco, Texas. The food here is an amazing treat, and they will educate you. Southern Kitchen and Bar, Mountain South is the influence, if you will. Southern Hospitality, there are all kinds of tables here in front that a lot of people are sitting at that are called community tables. So there are people sitting here who don't know each other.
Yeah.
Meeting each other and hanging out with people is a good thing. That's what they think. They dry age all their meat here between 20 and 80 days. We've been partaking in a bit of steak.
Yep.
Awesome stuff. So we are thrilled to be here. We get to be here because of our sponsors, Fast Lane Car Wash. Listen, all of us wash our cars. We are all car people. All, but most of us are car people. We wash our cars all the time. And there are car washes all over the place. But I go to so many car washes, or I have in my 28 years of living in Dallas, where if I get the quick wash, it seems they don't really give a damn if my car's that clean because I only spent what I spent,
four, five, six bucks,
whatever it is.
Right.
And I found this place on in Little Elm, right off of FM 423, just up from Main Street or just down from El Dorado, called Fast Lane Car Wash. And right away, I was like, wait, I just spent whatever I spent, $5 on a quick wash, whatever it may be, and they're out there hand drying my car, which that nobody does when you spend when you do the quick wash. They don't hand dry your car. And I got the feeling that they cared that my car got clean, and that made a difference to me. So Fast Lane Car Wash is my place. They got everything. They got every kind of wash you want. They got every kind of wax you want. They'll do it by hand. They'll do it professionally. They'll do it however you want. But the bottom line is we frequent places that make us feel wanted and that do a good job. And Fast Lane Car Wash, plain and simple, is the place. Justin is the owner, and almost every time I go in there, he's drying my car. So that has given me a great appreciation for Fast Lane Car Wash. Welcome back. Talking Dallas Cowboys football with Bryce Butler. Next week is Arizona. We will get to that in the next segment. A little bit more about today. I have to, and I know you haven't seen it and you didn't see it, but Twitter – and many pundits are aghast at an interception that was thrown third quarter, middle third quarter. The ball went through Dez's hands. Tough catch a little bit behind him. One of the cornerbacks made the interception, and Twitter and everyone is abuzz because there are videos of Zeke basically not moving. The return cornerback, I can't remember whether it was Harris or whoever it was, ran within, I don't know, 3 or 4 yards of him, and he stood. Turned and watched as the cornerback went down the field. Now, surprising to me, I noticed it a little bit from the press box, but it is now blown up. Jason Garrett has commented on it, basically said, listen, things happen in every game. It is not okay. If it would have been him or anybody else, we teach, as a matter of fact, and you'll have to tell me if this is true, we teach corner the wide receivers and the running backs that they need to make those tackles because the offensive linemen are generally too damn big to get there, right? So you guys are the ones who got to go make the tackle. You haven't seen it. Give me a general comment without having seen it on the reflection that it puts on the team and or this young man, if you will.
I didn't see it.
This is the first you've heard of it.
I kind of heard about it earlier today.
Yep.
I haven't seen it. But I don't know. Like, I mean, that was, like, really probably the toughest game that he's been a part of since, you know, he's been here. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a young guy. You know, I don't know where his mom was because I wasn't talking to him during the game. So I don't know where he was at, but, you know, that was a tough game for everybody. And who knows what was going through his mind at the time. You know, we're going to get past it. I'm pretty sure Coach Garrett's going to address it to us tomorrow as a team. We haven't obviously watched the game tape together as a team yet. We'll do that tomorrow since we have a Monday night game
against Arizona.
So, yeah. I haven't seen it. I don't know nothing about it, really, to be honest with you. I just know the play that happened, and I just know we got beat bad.
I can tell you as a above average athlete who's played most sports, none at the level that you guys play them at. I consider myself competitive. I consider myself a guy who would do almost anything not to lose, and I have a feeling that all 52-plus practice squad guys are that way as well. And I can also admit that there are games, whether they be pickup basketball games, whatever they may be, mm-hmm. where I reflect after a game that I quit on a play or that what was going on in the game didn't suit me.
Right.
There was a mind blank, if you will, or a moment of
we all go through those.
And so that would be my defense for the young man, and as well as since I've gotten to know him here, and I don't know him that well yet, I have not seen too many guys on this team more competitive than him.
Right.
So I'm not worried that, well, this is a sign of it's only good for Zeke when it's good for Zeke. I don't think that's the case. I think when he sees it on film, he's probably going to be bummed. Will he see it? Just so the fans will know what's going on. Will that be something that you – I mean, do you – if you screw up big time in a game, do you sit in a film session with most of your team? It gets pointed out. Does that happen?
Yeah, that happens. Okay. I mean, like you said, like we all have moments where we know that, okay, I didn't do my best on that play, or right. I could have did this different.
Right.
And it's like a mind blank. It's like, why did I do that? You know, so I have plays like that.
Yep.
You know, everybody has plays like that. So – you know, whatever he did, you know, he knows it. And, yeah, like, you know, if this is an offense, this is his first offense or something like that. So if people are making a big deal out of it, they shouldn't. You know, he's done a lot of great things here. And
he's going to do a lot more.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And so I don't think that one play would have affected the game. You know what I'm saying?
And I will say, so, from my point of view sitting up in the press box, it felt like there was some infection of, damn, this isn't our day, from most of the team throughout the day. Not, I'm not putting words in your mouth at all, but I looked at it and I thought, boy, this is the first time that I remember in a couple of years where this team has just kind of gotten punched in the mouth like this over and over and over again. You know what I mean? You've lost games, but those games were – I mean, I go all the way back to New Orleans in 15 – where they ran it up on you a little bit is the last time I can remember.
Well, no, not New Orleans, because that was a game I pulled my hamstring. We lost in overtime.
Okay.
CJ Spiller caught like a ball out of the backfield.
Okay.
What was the game we got beat bad in 15?
It was a road.
Because even in 15, we wasn't getting beat bad.
Right.
We sucked, but we wasn't getting beat bad.
Right, we lost a lot.
You know, we lost a lot of games, but we weren't getting beat bad. Like, we were losing the game, like, on the last drive.
It may even actually be to 14. Which is pre-you, right? It may be New Orleans.
Yeah, I was getting my behind beat in another city.
In Oakland, yes. Okay. Okay, but anyway, point being, it seemed to me that missed tackles, drop balls, et cetera, things that I was like, man, it's just uncharacteristic. This just isn't their day. Did it feel that way?
Our defense was on the field too long because we couldn't get a rhythm going offensively. We just couldn't get a rhythm going, man. They were doing a lot of good things to stop us. Whatever scheme, you know, that they had, and they did a really good job. Hats off to them. And then we did a lot of things that shot ourselves in the foot. You know, like I dropped the ball on third and, 15?
Yeah, it was a long play.
I don't know if I would have got the first down, but if I would have caught the ball, like,
would
have had a chance to make it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I can speak for myself in that way where, like, I was like, come on, dude. Like, that was an easy pitch and catch. Like, what are you doing? And it just seemed like a lot of stuff like that was happening all game. Like, you know, Dez – a ball slips through Dez's hands on a slant that he catches 10 out of 10 times. And, you know, like, and Chris Harris comes and gets the pick, and it just falls in his lap, you know. We didn't play well. But I will tell you, though, we all felt like we could make a comeback even in the fourth quarter.
Still felt that way.
You
know, down a couple scores.
You know, Texas A&M got beat like that a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
They were up 44-10. And I remember mentioning that to Terrence. Like, I was like, look, dude, like, we're down big, but if we get a couple quick scores early in the fourth quarter, we can come back.
Put pressure
on.
It
can happen. It can change. Get some momentum. Now, who knows if we would have won, but, I mean, we could have did something. So, like, nobody was, like, out there. It really wasn't until, like, after Akib, like, took the pick back all the way to the house, was like, all right, it's a wrap. So,
no doubt.
Yeah, it was just a bad game, Brady.
I don't get the feeling that anybody that's in this room or that is out there, I'm reading, I'm everywhere today, and nobody's saying this is a doomsday deal.
We won and won. We were in the same position we were in last year.
That's exactly right.
It was just that last year we lost the first game and won the second one. Yeah. This year we won the first game and lost the second one.
All right, so we got Arizona coming up. And we will talk about that in the next segment. All right, let's break from football. I've been grilling him. Have I hit him enough with what the hell happened in week two? I think I have.
Yeah.
So let's talk music. Let's talk your dad. Let's talk your brother. Let's talk getting ready to have a family. Which one of those things? Let's talk family first. Your wife is pregnant. Is that all right, me talking about that?
Yeah, we can a little bit.
All right, do it. How excited are you to be a dad?
I'm excited, man. It's one of those things where I've never been in a scenario like this before. Mm-hmm. So it's like one of those – I'm happy, but it's like, oh, shoot. Like, I don't know what to expect.
Wait till they hand him or her to you.
Yeah, him.
And the realization will be he's going to believe everything that I say.
Right.
What he's going to learn and know how to do, and his values are going to all come from me.
And then
at some point you're going to want to go, here, you just go ahead.
Yeah, man, that's it right there. You know, you start thinking about, you know, getting your life together so, you know, you can at least be some type of good, you know, role model or father figure to him. So it's one of those things where I'm excited for it. But then it's one of those things that can be a scary feeling I've never been in a situation where, you know, I've had to be responsible for like a little life form.
You've been taking care of you for a long time.
Yeah, I've been taking care of me for a while. And then, you know, the last few years been taking care of my lady. And now it's like, all right, now I got, like, real deal,
you need some college funds. You need all kinds of stuff, too.
Yeah.
All right, you do. And Jordans are expensive. All right. Bobby Butler is your dad.
Right.
Played 12 years in the NFL, all for the Atlanta Falcons, right?
Yeah, before
as a cornerback. He was really good.
Yeah.
So what's your relationship with him, and how does it affect you, or how did it affect you growing up, and how does it affect you now as a player?
Relationship is great.
Yeah.
You know, he did everything he could for me. As a kid growing up and making sure everything was good. You know, definitely blessing to, you know, have him as a father. And my mom, obviously. You know, even now, he played cornerback, so he gives me a lot of pointers on how he will be watching tape on me and telling me, like, what my tendencies are and things that, you know, I do well, things that I don't do well. You know, so it helps me to, you know, be able to get a real realization of what's going on. And it's been like that way my whole life because I played receiver ever since, like, ninth grade. So
does he do it every week? Do you hear from him every week?
I talk to him about the game. Like, I haven't talked to him about this game because the only thing he's going to say is y'all got y'all's butts. Well,
right.
You know what I'm saying? There's nothing y'all could, you know. So, but, yeah, I pretty much talk to him all the time. You know, definitely after games just to, you know, get his input of what he thought about it from a team as a collective and to me as an individual. You know, our relationship is great. You know, he's been there with me every step of the way. I'm highly appreciative of him. Things been good.
The celebration rules have been relaxed and almost taken away. You're not a celebration guy, but I do think I remember you catching a touchdown at some point since you've been here and doing a little celebration. And I think you told me you heard from your dad. Is that right? Is that an accurate story? Do you remember that?
My dad was mad at me?
Yeah, or that he didn't love it, basically saying, act like you've been there or whatever. I played 12 years.
You're probably talking about last year when I got, like, the timing penalty.
Okay.
I caught a pass against 49ers. We had, like, a heated battle with this guy. He was a pretty good player.
Yeah.
And I made a nice catch on him. And I kind of was looking at him and didn't throw the ball at him, but it was perceived that way because I was looking at him while I, like, dropped the ball.
Right.
And he was just like, you know, all refs won't call that, but, you know, just be smart. You know what I'm saying?
Don't,
you know, don't do anything that'll cost your team, especially in the heat of a battle, a close game like that was at the time. I'm not really a big celebratory guy. I'm more so of
not your thing.
This is what we do. You know, I'm trying to save all my energy while I'm playing, too. This is a tough sport. So I don't like to give any wasted energy anywhere unless it's just running around catching the ball.
I got it. Talking to Bryce Butler, the Dallas Cowboys, number 19. We are at our new home. Tupelo Honey is right in front of the Ford Center, right in front of the Star, where these guys practice and play and essentially live during the 7-month-long football season. This is one of the few new restaurants that is open here, and it doesn't make any difference because it's the best one. Tupelo Honey, Southern Kitchen and Bar. You're going to want to come here. The owner opened one of these in Asheville, North Carolina, with his wife, and the desire was, let's just go to Asheville, open a restaurant, see how we do, and retire. This is now restaurant number 15. And it is the first one in the state of Texas, and I want to tell you, you're going to love the food. Mountain South, Scratch Kitchen. Isn't it good? The steak was good.
Steak
That's because
good.
It's been aged 80 days.
Yeah.
What choice did it have but to be good?
Nothing.
That's what I'm saying.
No choice.
Talking to Bryce Butler, the Dallas Cowboys, right here on the Off of the Helmets radio show. Back in a moment to finish up, how do we beat the Arizona Cardinals? Let's talk about that next, right here on Off of the Helmets from 103.3 FM ESPN.